Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 28, The Abomination and Son of Perdition.
I wrote an article a couple of years ago. I wrote an article on the Son of Perdition. It was kind of long. It was about 25 solid pages. And I was in the middle of this article, and I got a call from a prophet on the East Coast, from the East Coast, Orlando, and his name was John Lollier. And I've known him for 2 years now, and he's been a really faithful brother and really doing the work of the Lord and a good prophet. He's had some really good things to say. But he called me up. I didn't know him. He called me up, and he said, "David, you never know how I got in touch with you." He said, I sat down at my computer and the Lord told me an address to type in. I typed it in and I ended up at your site. And I read your articles and I called you. He said, just the other day the Lord spoke to me. He said that next month I'm going to see the Son of Perdition. I said, "John, I don't really know how that could possibly be, because the Bible says that the falling away has got to come first and then the Son of Perdition will be revealed." And when I said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, "Be quiet." He said, "You're writing this article." I didn't tell him this. I never told him this. He said, "You're writing this article. Next month you're going to be through with this article. When you're through with this article, I want you to send it to him. And when he reads it, he's going to see the Son of Perdition." And that's exactly what happened. I never told him anything. I was quiet. I never told him anything. The next month, I sent him that article. He read that article. He said, "This is the fulfillment of what the Lord told me. I see the Son of Perdition." Well, very few people see the Son of Perdition. We're not going to know literally who he is until the falling away comes first. But if you have discernment of who he is and what he does, it's a lot easier to know him, right? Watch. John 17 and 12. "While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them. And not one of them perished, but the son of perdition," that was Judas, "that the scripture might be fulfilled." Now, I told you that in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, that was a fulfillment of the end time. The Gospels is a fulfillment of the first 3.5 years. And what happened to Judas in the days of Jesus is a sign of what's going to happen to the sons of perdition in our day, in our coming day. And it says here that not one of them perished, but the son of perdition. You know that in the body of Christ, there's only one that's going to perish. He's called the son of perdition. He's the only one that's going to perish. And this is so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But this son of perdition is a very large group of people in these days. Another thing it said about him is that he that eateth my bread lifteth up his heel against me. These are people that are eating the bread. These are people that are studying the Word. They're in church, a lot of them, you know. But they're claiming to be Christians. They're hidden in the body of Christ, just like Judas was. He was very well hidden in the body of Christ. The disciples didn't even know him. You know? But he lifted up his heel against me. Judas was used to crucify the body of Christ. You get my terminology, my typology there? He was used to crucify the body of Christ. He turned against the body of Christ. Now let's look at the son of perdition in Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, touching the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto Him. You'll have to excuse me for sometimes skipping a few verses or parts of verses that don't pertain exactly to what I'm talking about. But verse 3 says, let no man beguile you in any wise, for it will not be except the falling away come first. What will not be? The coming of the Lord will not be except the falling away come first. And the falling away is the word apostasia. It means a defection from truth. There's only one kind of a person that can defect from the truth. That's somebody that has the truth in the beginning. You know, they have it to begin with. So we're talking about Christians here, departing from the truth. Nobody else can fall away but Christians. Nobody else in the world can fall away. He said, let no man beguile you in any wise. It will not be except the falling away come first, before the coming of the Lord, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Just as Judas, the corporate son of perdition in the end time, is hidden in the body until the falling away happens. You remember that the disciples, when Jesus told them, you know, that one of you shall betray me, they all asked Jesus, well, is it I, Lord? Is it I? I mean, they at least came to the place where they didn't trust in themselves, you know. And so they asked the Lord. And in John 13 and 27, Jesus therefore answereth, He it is for whom I shall dip the sop and give it to him. So when he had dipped the sop, he taketh and giveth it to Judas. And after the sop, then entered Satan into him. See, Judas became a reprobate. When Judas decided to turn in the Lord, and he became reprobate, and Satan entered him. Now, who does Satan dwell in? We saw he dwelled in the dragon, right? The Lord said to me, when I was reading something about the son of perdition one time, I wasn't reading this particular text, but I was reading something about it. The Lord said to me, sop. S-O-P, son of perdition. I heard that. And I thought, other people have said to me, well, Dave, that's just in the English. That's not really in the Hebrew. No, that's true. It is. But that's what he said to me. Sop, son of perdition. Satan entered Judas by making him the mark, which creates the image, which is an abomination of desolation. You remember what the image of the beast was in the Old Testament? What the abomination of desolation in the Old Testament was? One time it was when Antiochus Epiphanes set up a statue of Jupiter in the Holy of Holies. And it was called an abomination of desolation. Well, that's a type and a shadow. There's another image being manifested in the temple today. See? Well, here you have Judas, who was in the body of Christ, who has now taken the mark of the beast. The mark being the nature, character, and authority of Antichrist, you see. And Judas is in the midst of the body, and they don't know who he is. But a falling away happened right there. A falling away happened right there. And he was revealed for who he was. Now that's what's going to happen in the body of Christ in our day. The timing of Judas's fall coincides with the mark, image, and abomination. Jesus taught for 3.5 years, and then the son of perdition, Judas, fell away, betrayed him, and became desolate. Remember, we're talking about desolate being God departing from the temple. He became desolate. Okay. The same is true in the end time, because the man-child's ministry is the same ministry as Jesus. This is a wonderful thing, what the Lord showed me about this. Go back, if you hadn't listened to the first tapes of the conference about what the Lord is about to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ on the earth again. Go back and listen to those tapes. You will love them. The man-child's ministry is Jesus' ministry. It's going to have the same ministry, except this is a corporate body that's a worldwide corporate body. It's going to have the ministry of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what flesh Jesus manifests himself in, whether it was the flesh that came through Mary or the flesh that comes through us. Does it make any difference? No, it doesn't make any difference. The man-child in Revelation 12 taught for 3.5 years, and then came the middle of the tribulation, which is where the mark, the image, and the abomination happened. In the midst of the week. See? Why do they happen at the same time? Because Judas is fully involved in becoming the image of the beast in the temple of God, and an abomination that maketh desolate. God used the hand of Judas. Remember that. He used the hand of Judas. Jesus said, "One of you shall betray me." In other words, he knew from the beginning who the son of perdition was. He did nothing about it. The Lord sometimes teaches me by putting me through the experience. He has done this with me. I've had 3 people that the Lord told me, "That's your Judas." 3 people in my life that he told me that. And you know what he wanted me to do? He wanted me to treat him just like Jesus treated him. Jesus gave Judas every opportunity that he gave anybody else. When Judas chose evil, it was all his fault. It wasn't the Lord's fault, because the Lord didn't make him stumble, did he? We've got people like that around us. I've had the Lord point to him and tell me that. And sure, and it, sometimes, in some cases, it was before this person had ever done anything wrong to me, or I knew anything about it. We've got Judases. As a matter of fact, we need Judases. They have a ministry for God. God uses the hand of Judas. "One of you shall betray me, and what thou doest, do quickly." He's just telling him, "Now go get your job done and hurry up." You know? For this reason, he came into the world to be crucified. And then he tells us we take up our cross and follow him. We came into the world for the same reason. But we can't put ourselves on the cross. We need a little help. So God ordained Judases to do this. Acts 2 and 23, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, speaking of Jesus, of course, you by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay. That word lawless is the same word in 2 Thessalonians where it says the man of sin. That's the word lawless. Same word, lawlessness. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. God used the hand of a man of lawlessness to crucify the body of Christ, and so it will be in these days. The Lord said to me, "Look up Judas Iscariot." That was many years ago he spoke this to me. And I ran quick to look it up, and I was surprised, because Judas in the Hebrew means to use the hand. To use the hand. God used the hand of Judas, the hand of lawless men. Men. Judas represents a lot of men in our day. I looked up Iscariot, and it's actually 2 words. The first word, "is," is Hebrew for man. And the second word, "kariot," is Babylonian or Chaldean, same thing, for city. To use the hand of a man who is a city. Not just any man, but it's Hebrew for man. That implies in our end of the covenant, Christians, you see. Christian man who is a Babylonian city. What is a city? A city is a corporate body of people. See, God called his people a city. He said, "You are a city set on a hill for all the world to see." So, what do I interpret this to mean? To use the hand of a Christian man who is a Babylonian city, and that Babylonian city is hidden in the city of God. The son of perdition is a city of Babylon, a corporate body hidden in the corporate body of the city of God. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He called his people a city. And he was talking about spiritual Zion, right? the falling away, and the mark will separate the spiritual harlot city from the city of God. And this has to happen before the Lord comes, because God is sanctifying His body, His corporate body. Judas, as a type of the end-time son of perdition, betrayed Christ to the Sanhedrin. That's the corporate false prophet of his day. And like Babylon, was guilty of the blood of the body of Christ. Matthew 24, 9 through 11. Then shall they deliver you up unto tribulation. They deliver you up. Judas delivered up Jesus. And shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. What does he mean by that? So that the name of Christ may be manifested in us. The nature, character, and authority has to be manifested in our mind and works. And for that to happen, we have to be crucified. The old man has to die, right? The renewing of your mind is giving up the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, you see, for the mind of Christ and the works of Christ. And crucifixion is necessary for that. That's why God used Judas. And that's why he's going to do the same thing in our day, because history just keeps on repeating itself, you see. So we're going to be hated of all the nations for his name's sake. And then shall many stumble. Well, that's the falling away right there. The falling away of the son of perdition. And shall deliver up one another. See, there's Judas's in the body, ready to do their job. They're going to deliver up one another. And shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall lead many astray. It never says a false prophet's coming. Nowhere in the Bible. It doesn't say that. Because that's not the truth. Unless you're talking about the corporate false prophet. Paul said that the son of perdition is he that opposeth and exalteth himself against all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sitteth in the temple. Now we just found out who the temple is, right? Do they have a temple? No temple. And if they build it, it's still not a temple, because he's not going to dwell in it. See? If they build a building, it's just a building. It's not a temple. Well, this son of perdition sitteth in the temple. The Greek word for temple there is naos. Naos was used by Paul 9 times in the New Testament, and every time it was the spiritual temple of God's people. It was never the physical temple. Whoa, that's interesting, isn't it? If he was meaning the physical temple, he would have used the word herion, because 71 times in the New Testament it's being used as the physical building. So now you know the son of perdition is sitting in a spiritual temple. And he's not just an individual. Because how would an individual sit in God's temple, which is worldwide? See? We're talking about a corporate body of people that are hidden in God's temple, like Judas was hidden among God's people, his body, in that day. Exactly the same thing. So, he's in the naos. He's in the people of God. Just as Judas was in the body of the believers, the latter-day son of perdition will take the mark as a member of the body of the beast. See, Judas, remember, Judas, Satan entered into him. He became a member of the dragon. You see, that's the beginning part of the beast, right? The beginning phase of the beast. And by the way, when Satan entered into him, it was at the end of the first 3.5 years. That's where... I mean, the dragon is the first 3.5 years, you see. He'll take the mark of the beast and identify himself as a member of the body of the beast and sit in the midst of the temple of God's people. This is an abomination that maketh desolate. You have the image of the beast in the holy place. You see what I'm talking about? Where's the holy place? The holy place is the people of God. They have no holy place. And if they build a building, there's still no holy place. So that's not what God's talking about. Never has been. Titus 1 and 16. They profess that they know God, but by their works they deny Him, being abominable. Well, here's an abomination. Somebody that's claiming to be a Christian, and by their works, the hand, they're denying Him. That's an abomination. And they're disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Reprobate is the term when you have a desolation of an individual temple or a corporate temple, right? Desolation, a reprobation. It means God left. Okay. The son of perdition exalts himself, setting himself forth as God. He exalts self to rule as God in his individual temple and in the corporate temple. You know, if you rule your own life, we are not our own. We were bought with a price. We belong to Christ. We were meant to be. He's the head. We're the body. Right? If we rule our own life, then we're God to us. And if you happen to be an elder in the church like Judas was, and you rule the church your way with your word and your ideas, you're still making yourself God. You're replacing God. Romans 16 and 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. The belly is a term that the Jews use to represent self, the lusts of the flesh, feeding their belly, right? They didn't serve God, they served themselves, right? And by their smooth and fair speech, they beguile the hearts of the innocent. Philippians 3:18, for many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. He's talking about people in the church, folks. He's not talking about the world. Everybody knows that the world is the enemy of Christ. He said, whose end is perdition. There's your sons of perdition right there. Whose end is destruction. Whose end is perdition. Whose God is the belly. Again, self. And whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. There is the mind of the flesh. There's the mark of the beast. They mind earthly things. And Judas was also an apostle, a leader in the corporate temple, as some of the sons of perdition will be. The beast will be ruling in the temple of God. Remember 10 out of the 12 tribes had ministers that were not Levites in 1 Kings. They made their own. They made their own image. The northern 10 tribes made their own image of God, which was false, and then they made preachers who were not ordained of God. And that's an exact type of what we got today. And you can tell, it's so easy to tell, because what they say is not what he said. The sons of perdition will take the mark, the final abomination that will desolate them. They become the image of the beast in the apostate temple. Just exactly what happened when Antiochus Epiphanes, you know, set up the statue of Jupiter in the Holy of Holies of that apostate temple. It was a false image of God. Daniel 9 and 27, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And on the wing of abominations, or pinnacles, same word, of abominations, shall come one. Now, everybody says that this one that comes is the Antichrist. No, it's not. It's talking about, it's going to come one abomination that's going to make desolate. In other words, at the end of many abominations, one is going to come that's going to make desolate. See, God is, in Revelation 14, says that if any take the mark of the beast, they're going to be tormented day and night in the presence of the holy angels. They're going to become desolate. That's one abomination where God draws a line. There are many abominations in the temple. Many. But there's one where he draws the line. And that one is the image of the beast that maketh desolate. See? There are people sitting in the body of Christ that they're not in the image of Christ. If you're not in the image of the Christ, you're in the image of the beast. See? And there's coming a time when God has decided to cleanse his body. You know, there are many lukewarm in the body of Christ right now. But we know that we're coming to a time when the Bible says he's going to spew the lukewarm out of his mouth. And what he's talking about is the body of Christ. They're going to be rejected from the body of Christ. Why? Because I believe that God does not like judging fence sitters. You know, people that are just in the middle of the road. You don't like that either, do you? You'd rather they were either hot or cold so you can make a clear decision and feel good about it. And that's what he said. When they're not hot or cold, he said, they're lukewarm, I'm going to spew them out of my mouth. They're going to be rejected. Nobody's going to sit on the fence in the days that are coming. You're either going to get in or you're going to get out all the way. See? So on this pinnacle of abominations, one is going to come that makes desolate. And even unto a full end, and that determined shall, watch this, wrath be poured out upon the desolate. Hey, we're not talking about a building here, are we? Look at that. He's talking about people. Shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate? He's talking about the spiritual temple, the corporate son of perdition. Judas, by the way, hanged himself. It was his fault. The thing I received when I read that one time was that breath and spirit are the same thing. He cut himself off from the Spirit of God. He cut himself off. He can no longer partake of the Spirit of God. And he spiritually died. The corporate son of perdition will take the mark and go back to their Christian assemblies to fulfill the word. Matthew 24:15. When therefore you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him that readeth understand. Why did he put that in there? Because what he's saying is, what I'm telling you is not on the surface. Pay close attention, because what I'm telling you is deeper than what first appears. Okay. Well, the abomination of desolation, which was spoken through Daniel the prophet, is standing in a holy place in the original. Let me explain something to you. There's no manuscript that says the holy place. None of them do. The received text does not either. None of them do. The received text does not, the ancient manuscripts do not, and the numeric pattern does not. You know what a numeric pattern is? A numeric pattern is an awesome miracle that God did so we could prove what letter goes right there. Prove absolutely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, what letter goes right there. See, God designed His whole book with a numeric pattern in it. Because, as you know, the Greeks and the Hebrews used their letters to write their numbers. So every letter in the Bible is also a number. And the guy that discovered this a little over 100 years ago was Ivan Panin. He was run out of Russia during the Bolshevik Revolution. Came over here, was a devout Christian. And he noticed this because he started translating the Bible back into numbers. And he found these patterns going through the whole Bible. And it was totally awesome. Every letter in the Bible fits into a pattern. If you take one letter out or put one letter in, it ruins the pattern in that text. And he discovered this.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.